Because after all, we were 3-4 weeks old at that point in the word and knowledge of the word and so forth. And so I was like, that's amazing. In light of all the things that had happened to bring that about. So when I began to study that, the intercession and the Hebrew word pagah, and how awesome that is, and how far-reaching that is, I realized that what the Spirit of God had Betty O'Brien do was intercede for somebody. Didn't know who. He knew. And as she said, for 2 weeks, that was every day. For the 2 weeks. And every day as she was interceding, the Spirit of God was arranging all this stuff. So that she ended up having a pagah, a meeting with Jesus. So the problem we have in the church today is a lot of praying by a few, but not a lot of results. Now, whenever we're doing something and we're not getting the fruit is not forthcoming. That means we have to go back. Lord, give us wisdom. What's going on here? Wisdom is the principal thing. Right? Now, I also had shared, whenever I brought all the children together, this was after they were pretty much up and out other than Michael, and whenever we were all together, I would take out the notebook, and I'd say, I'm taking prayer requests, and I'd write their name, they each had a page, and I would write down their prayer request. And in every single one of them, there was one common thing, I need wisdom for. They had other different requests, but the only one that was on every page, okay, Joe, Dave, Elizabeth, Sarah, Andrew, Michael, was wisdom. I need wisdom. And so prayer will work for us as long as we have the wisdom of God on it. So, what we experience, though, is a lot of tradition, a lot of copying what grandma and mom and dad used to do, and a lot of, unfortunately, in that copying, a lot of doubt and unbelief. Okay? So, foundationally, the only prayer that brings an answer is believing prayer. Okay? That's the only prayer that brings an answer. Believing prayer. Now, most maybe don't know what that is, to pray believing prayer. But it's discouraging sometimes to be praying about something and years go by, years, and you're not seeing the answer. The meanwhile, the enemy comes around and he got a big mouth and he's trying to tell you the reasons why the answer is there, and he's pointing the finger at you. something you didn't do, you did do this, that. There must be sin in your life. I got news for you. If there's sin in your life, you know it. You need somebody coming around, okay, and get you to rack your brain. I guarantee you, if we took 5 minutes each and examined ourselves close enough, we'd find something. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. And thank God we're forgiven all, even what we don't even know we're forgiven of. Now, if you want to toe the line under the law, go for it. All of you that don't have clothes on of one material, you broke the law. Polyester don't work. So it's not in prayer earning something. Amen? It's not earning it. It's understanding that we're righteous and that God's looking for the righteous to pray for intercession for the unrighteous. The word says he does not hear the prayer of the unrighteous. Now, I want to go over Pagah for a few minutes. We're going to have a time where we're going to be praying, but we want to pray focused. Focused on what we're after. See, there's a lot of praying that goes on, but it's not specific. We're not after something. See, how do I pray for unsaved people? How do I pray for someone that needs a burden lifted from them and get a result? Amen? Let's go back over it, because it takes a while to get this, because it's much different than what we're used to. We are praying for intercession to happen. Amen? We're praying for that reconciliation. Okay? This comes out of the fact that we are called to the ministry of reconciliation, and the first thing that goes with that calling is prayer. Prayer. I was impressed of the Lord this week to pray and intercede for somebody. I don't know who. But I knew that happened with somebody else years ago. Betty O'Brien, who was impressed. I've had it many, many, many times this happened. So I'm praying with the Spirit, because I don't know who I'm praying for. I don't know what I'm praying about. And after I had the time of intercession, the first day, it was kind of like I knew I was done with that. And then next day I was impressed again. So I prayed. Just prayed in tongues, 10, 15 minutes, for who I don't know. This happens often. If you say, Lord, thank you, I have the ministry of reconciliation, and then understand you are then to be hear when to pray. Then he says, go down to a particular park. Well, I like to go to parks anyway. They're nice, they're green, they're quiet. Now that I'm up here, I know that half of the year the parks are out because they're white and cold and icy. See? So I go down to the park, and I always have my Bible. Everywhere I go, I'm always carrying my Bible. My Bible is with me everywhere. Never leave home without it. I leave the wallet at home before I leave my Bible at home. So I go to the park, I sit down at a bench, and as I'm driving down there, I get impressed to go over a scripture. So I get down, I open the Bible up, and I'm opening up to that scripture, and a man walks by. I'm sitting here, and he walks by. He gets right about here. He turns. You reading the Bible? I said, yeah, I'm reading the Bible. I read it all the time. He said, oh. I said, don't you read the Bible? He goes, no, I went to Catholic school. Oh, I said, of course. See, you actually then were told not to read the Bible, by the way, because you can't understand it. You have to get it from us. See? I was 7 years old and knew that wasn't right. So then he says to me, I've been in rehab 12 times. Gray beard, right? I said, well, I'm still sitting. He's still standing. I said, now, this Bible is about, he goes, I know, it's about God. I said, so you know about God? Yeah, I told you I went to Catholic school. And then I said, no, you don't know enough. What do you mean? I said, this is about Jesus. This Bible is about Jesus. I said, what do you know about Jesus? He says, not much. I said, well, let me tell you. So, you see, God knows who to put with who, because I knew exactly how this man thinks. Why? Because he went to Catholic school. And I knew exactly. I said, let me guess. You spent your whole life trying to sacrifice for your sins.
Right.
I said, you haven't figured out yet? There's nothing you can do? Well, I figured that out. And we got into a discussion for 3 or 4 minutes. And so I left him with, all your sins are forgiven you. All your sins are forgiven you. He looked at me and he goes, I feel better already. But, he said, I got to go. I'm wanting to close the deal. Sometimes I like to close the deal and sometimes you're going for too much. Now this guy's going from, I don't know nothing about Jesus, see, to, so he goes, I got to go. And he leaves. Okay, he goes down the way, the little walkway there in the park or the pathway or whatever it was. He gets down here, stops, turns around, walks back. I'm looking down at the scripture. I don't realize until he gets right up in front of me that he's there, but he keeps on going. Phone rings. He has a cell phone, and he's about from here to the piano away from me. He's on the phone. Well, I said, I'm going for it. In other words, I'm going to try to close the deal. So I walk up to him just at that point. He takes the phone and he hangs up. And I said, I didn't get your name. He said, Kevin. Kevin's my name. I said, I'm John. I'm glad to meet you. And I said, how'd you like to get your life changed right now? Let's pray. You know what he said? He said, no, I'm good. I'm okay right now. I'm all right. I don't really need to do that right now. And have a good day. And off he went. See? But we went from where? I don't know nothing about Jesus. See? And I know when he walked off, that word, your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you. Jesus died for you. That is in him working. What happened? I'm part of somebody else praying for him as well. And I'm part of the Pagah, where he's going to come to the point where he's going to have a confrontation with Jesus. See? This man will be going to heaven. Now, that didn't end there. I start walking off, and he says, he chases me down. He taps me on the shoulder. I don't know that he's behind me. I turn around. He says to me, was this one of those God things? I said, what do you mean a God thing? He says, well, you know, this wasn't by chance. He's telling me. I said, see, you know that. I said, this was a divine appointment. I said, God set this up, and he didn't even tell either of us. He just did it. Yeah, yeah, a divine appointment. He goes, and you're one of those people that don't believe in coincidences and chance or any of that. I said, absolutely, you have me pegged. There ain't any such thing as that. I said, God's after you, man. And then he goes, yeah, I thought so. Have a good day. Off he goes. But see, it's fun. I had fun. It was fun. I didn't care that the man was in 12 times for rehab. I never even asked him about it. Oh, tell me about it. I want to hear it. What do I want to hear that for? Basically, he said to me, I'm a failure going somewhere to happen. That's what he was telling me when he said, I've been in rehab 10, 12 times. Right? What did he need? The Word of God. He needed words of grace. I told him another thing. I said, it doesn't matter how much you rehab. It isn't going to make any difference as far as God's concerned because you're already forgiven by what Jesus did, by what Jesus did. If we, just us right now, could start a wave of that. This is like every once a week this happens. I could be here all night telling you other incidents and all that. By the way, Joe at Starbucks, we closed the deal. He prayed for salvation. And I gave him a little book. I said, I got to give you a book. He said, it's not a big book, is it? I can't read big books. I said, no, 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 it's just right. So I gave him the book, okay? It's the little Copeland book, you know? Much better than it's like, now that you're saved, this is what happened. Really good. Has the basic things in there, scripture. There's another book, watch out. Now that you're saved, it tells you all the things you got to do. So you get like 3 minutes of liberty, and now they want to strap that yoke of bondage on you again. See, even the ones that Peter said our fathers couldn't bear it. You know, why should we make them do it? Amen. However, if we can get Pagah, an understanding of that, and begin to intercede, and the more that we get to do that who have one encounter a week. All right? What if we had every chair full and each one says, hey, I want to have fun. I want to do this. How long would it take to change Quakertown? Not 30 years. See, 31 years ago we came here and sad to say, it hadn't changed much. The pastors are still the same way as they were then. There's still the division. There's still a lack of agreement. But the worst part about it is there's no paga happening. Can't we change that? Can you see yourself as the answer? Can you? Can you see yourself as the answer? God, why am I here? Think about it a second. Why are you here? I hear heaven's a whole lot better. Anybody else hear that? I hear that the streets are gold, not paved with gold. They're gold. But the problem is, okay, that we get caught up, even those that are praying, into a kind of praying where it's not a believing prayer. And the reason why it's not believing prayer is because we don't understand what we're going for. Why are we doing this? Huh? Why? Why are we doing this? Amen? If we could get that across, okay, and there be an understanding, the Hebrew word paga basically, and the basic meaning of it is to meet. To meet. A prayer meeting is the right term. We're praying so meetings will happen. Amen? Meetings between unsaved loved ones and Jesus. We're praying for meeting to happen. Now the other side of that is, the paga is this. We're interceding to break the enemy's hold at the same time over them. Amen? They're held. How many, I referred to the great, the heavenly vision, where Jesus spoke to Paul, and what did he tell him to do? Open their eyes. Open their eyes. What that means is, open the eyes of their heart so that they can see the light of the gospel and come out from the darkness. See? The darkness is what you can't see. The darkness is the misery of sin. The darkness is the misery, the consequences of mistakes. The darkness is where the torment is. That's where the worry and concern is. That's where a lot of Christians are, let alone the world. Amen? And we're called to help them get them out from the darkness to the light, out from under the power of the Satan to the under the power of God. There are only two places people are. Either under the authority of Satan or under the authority of God. That's it. They believe there's a middle ground somewhere. It doesn't exist. Do you understand? The Word talks about Christians, born again, children of God, being taken captive by Satan at his will. One prayer I have, Lord, cause the body of Christ from Allentown to Philadelphia to quit dealing in the flesh and see who the real enemy is. It's craziness to get fighting with one another when you know there's a real enemy there that wants to beat your brains in. It's crazy. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. We wrestle not with wrestle. Can it be any plainer? How plain does it have to be? So quit wrestling with flesh and blood. I don't like him. Last weekend I went to a conference out in the middle of Pennsylvania somewhere. It was out there on the other side of Williamsport, which, trust me, there's nothing there.
Right.
Now, this state is made up of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Throw Allentown in. Little Harrisburg in the middle. Other than that, there's nothing there. I'm talking, this is how nothing this place is. To drive an hour to Walmart. Okay? Now, you can always tell. If there's not a Walmart there, you're not on the map. See, I used to see Walmart. I said, this town's arrived. They have Walmart and they have McDonald's. See? Because they have real estate divisions, these companies, that search and scour and gather information before they invest in a town. They go broke. This town, they did a Target, it went broke. They did a JCPenney's, it went broke. There is no department store. They drive an hour. Okay? There was a conference there, and there was 500 chairs in the church, and it was 3/4 full. I said, Lord, wow. It was a pastor's conference. Wow. Every now and then, you know, the Lord lets me see that to say, hey, I'm still around. I can get it done. Amen. They pray. Do you know what the prayer schedule of that church is? You can't. I couldn't myself. They have 3 prayer times a day. 7 days a week. I read that and I said, whoa. Nothing's going to happen until we pray and we pray the right way. Nothing. And the big reason why, and let me read you what I jotted down here. See, I don't want people, my hope and desire is people that we come in contact with, I want them to catch the spirit of prayer. That it's not a struggle. It's not a have to. It's, hey, I want to. Amen? And that your only thing is You have to kick the enemy out once in a while because he's trying to get in the way. Amen. But my flesh is submitted to what my spirit knows. Spirit, soul, body. Not body, soul, spirit. Amen. You all know that. All right. Statement. Intercession is what is accomplished through prayer. Intercession creates a meeting. Intercessors meet with God in order to arrange a meeting. Can you see that? I met with God. He wanted to arrange a meeting. But why did I have to do that? Why did that have to happen? Say, why didn't God just do it? After all, he's sovereign. Well, let me say this. If God is sovereign, and he can do anything he wants, and he's a God of love, and he's a God of mercy, and he's a God of compassion, then I don't like what's going on planet Earth. Whose fault is that? Huh? Do you like the way it's going? How many shootings this week? 12 killed, 50 wounded. How many? Oh, and God is sovereign. Really? Well, what does that tell me and you? We need to go back and get some wisdom. See, wisdom shows you the key issue in the problem and what to do about it. Why do we need this wisdom? Because the truth of the matter is, God has put us in charge of planet Earth. Hello? Now, who's doing what kind of a job? Us? Body of Christ. He has put the body of Christ, the church, in charge of planet Earth and what goes on in it. And then he's taken people and he's put them in geographical locations through the body of Christ throughout. And he goes, you're in charge of what goes on here. Can you see it? Please, can you see it? You're in charge of what goes on here. John 3:8. Anybody who has a Bible, turn to 1 John 3:8, please. Diane, you have it? Mm-hmm. Would you read it nice and loud? Amplify it for us.
Okay. But he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil, takes the character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was made manifest was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done.
Okay, why was Jesus manifested in the earth? To do what?
Undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the work of the devil.
Or, in the unamplified version, to destroy the works of the devil. And one of the things that the Lord told me one morning, I said, Lord, I know you're in me. How many of Jesus is in you? And then he brought me to that verse of scripture, and I've always read that the way most of us do. And he said, I want you to understand that I'm in you to destroy the works of the devil that are in you. He's in us to destroy the works of the devil that he has done to us. Amen? See, all this stuff about sin, they're not getting it. God's real tough on sin, but he took care of it. We just insist that there's got to be a way that we take care of it, okay, that is not the wisdom of God. Corinthians says the wisdom of God is foolishness to the mind of man. And a lot of what it's taught and preached and all, you know, you need to shape up and get rid of that sin. I can't. Don't you understand? If I could, why would I need Jesus? And the harder you try, the worse it gets. And then you walk and live in condemnation and guilt. Now let me ask you a question. A person in that condition, are they going to pray and believe to get any answer to prayer? No. That's why when prayer meeting is called, it's not full. That's why there's only a handful. Why can't they see this? Why cannot the church see that? The heavenly vision said, open their eyes, take them out from darkness to light, take them out from underneath the power of Satan, the power of God, so that they receive forgiveness of sin and receive the inheritance. Come on! It's a great plan. It's a wonderful plan. Okay? How about we all get in sync with that plan? See, when you have the real good news, the real gospel, the real wisdom of God, you want to tell people. That's the second problem. I'm miserable. I'm under condemnation and guilt all the time. I'm so wretched. Come join me. I look at that person and say, are you crazy? I got enough to deal with on my own without you piling the rest of this up. Amen? But we're not in that boat. Are we? We're going to pray. The pagah's going to happen. Okay, there's going to be the divine appointment. Your Jewish friend. Yes. We're putting him on the griddle tonight, all of us. I've been going over that. See, the Lord is saying, pray for him. Pray for him. How much do you pray for him? Every day until Pagah. I don't have to get on the floor for 2 hours and scream and whine and holler. No. 5 minutes. Five. Two. I have to tell you, I got a list now. I put the list out. But sometimes the Lord impresses me, pray specifically for this person. Amen? Intercessors also meet the powers of darkness. It is to undo a meeting. It's breaking the yoke. It's disuniting them from the authority of the enemy, the blindness. Okay? Write these scriptures down. We're not going to go over them, but you look them up. Judges 8:21. Judges 15:12. 1 Samuel 22. Am I going too fast? Where are we at? Judges? Okay, Judges 8:21. Judges 15:12. 1 Samuel 22:17-18. 2 Samuel 1:15. 1 Kings 2:25-46. Now you go through those scriptures and it's going to show you about the prayer that causes a pagah where the enemy is concerned. Now, it isn't, the Old Testament doesn't have a couple of things in it as examples for us. The whole thing is. Amen? Corinthians, this was put in there for our example. Well, he was referring to the children of Israel in the wilderness. But the whole Old Testament is for our example. Amen? Abraham, for example, is an example. And I don't know any person that has gone through something in their life that pertains to what Abraham was brought through. How many of you ever fleshed out? I fleshed out. What is that fleshing out? Not sinning all over the place. I just had the will of God. I knew what it was, and I was going to make it happen with my own effort. What do you think's in the news every day? Syria, this, that. That all came from Ishmael. And if they would just spend $9.95 and read a Bible, they would read the verse of Scripture that says, from that day to this day, those Arab nations are going to persecute Israel. Done. Ishmael is trying to persecute Isaac. Because he's mad. He didn't get the inheritance. He got kicked out. Because he was of the flesh. Abraham's effort to try to make what God had promised come to pass. Here's a Bible truth. Remember this. It always takes longer in the spirit than it does in the flesh to arrive where God wants you. For God to perform what he promised. The flesh is easier. Okay? I can get that house. All I got to do is sign for the mortgage. Make it happen. God wanted it. I can get that car. All I got to do is pay 16% interest. Okay? I'm not saying it's a sin. Okay? I'm just saying, how do you want to live? Do you want to live under that? Or do you want to live in that place of freedom? Debt free. Your choice. But you know what's great about it? God gives us a choice. Amen? The wisdom is in here for that. Now, the wisdom's going to come. Why? Because you're praying and you're in the Word. 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 Guess what? You're in the Word and praying, the wisdom comes. Amen? Amen? Now, if we get this, if you work on this, if you work on this on your own, go in and learn some things on your own, You're going to begin to start to intercede and pray and start seeing results. Seeing really fun things happen. See? In the early days, I used to say, all right, take a handful of tracts. I'm going to go out and witness. And I did. But I didn't pray a lot. So it was hard. Nobody wanted to listen. And I thought about that and I began to study. I said, Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. Get the wisdom. And then I began to pray. You know, it went from hard to fun. Because it was easier. You know why? Because God brought people who wanted to hear. See, I had the other. I had this. Hand them a track, would you? That's not fun. Okay, we go, well, that's persecution. Brother, you got to expect the persecution. Well, I don't like it, okay? That didn't happen with Jesus. Huh? Then I'm reading, and you know what I see? And Jesus went to a separated place, and he prayed all night. Lord, you mean my good morning, Lord, thank you for today, isn't working? Amen. Now, what is one of the things we want to see? We want to see this happen, that others catch that spirit of prayer from you. Why can't an entire church come together and pray? Well, could I ask you to do something? Quit saying, like I've heard, well, let's see, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Vero Beach, Kentucky, Georgia, Pennsylvania, everywhere. This. Whenever I call for a prayer meeting, nobody shows up. Turn to Mark chapter 11. Let me show you something. That's heaven calling. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Hello? As it's in red. Does anybody believe that? This is Jesus' own words. If you believe what? The thing you say. The words you say. You'll have them. You understand words are spirit. They are spirit. That's why they have the effect on us they have. How they can burrow in and get attached to somebody. a spirit of anger, a spirit of hate. And what do I hear? You see, they don't believe the Word of God. If they believed the Word of God, they would understand that they're actually speaking people away from prayer. And the enemy takes advantage of that, because the only way the enemy can do anything to us, he's got to get you to say it. And he does a pretty good job. I can only be around that for a certain amount of time. I believe that happened to Jesus, is why he went and prayed all night. One reason. How much of it can you stand? Let me read that again. Read it in Amplified. Nice and loud.
And Jesus replying to them, "Have faith in God constantly. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him.
Is it the Word of God?" And it works all the time, positive or negative. Do they believe it? See, if you believed it, if I believe it, then I'm going to steward over every word that comes out of my mouth. Every word. And I'm not going to get caught in a little trap. And you know where the worst words come out most of the time? In the prayer meeting. What do we use when we pray? Words. I want to scream sometimes when I hear a person sitting there and recounting all of the devil's victories to God. Huh? You think the body of Christ doesn't need to be taught how to pray? Think about that. Oh, we don't need to be right. Believing prayer. What is believing prayer? Well, there it is. You understand that when I'm praying and I believe the thing I'm saying, well, how do I come to the place where I'm believing what I'm saying? I'm saying what God's saying. The Word. I'm saying what God is saying. God needs us to do that, to be in that place. Otherwise, he can't do anything. Oh, Lord, why did you let this happen to me? He didn't. He was trying to tell you, pull over and pray. I pulled over one time on I-4 in Orlando. I actually pulled off, because sometimes when he speaks that, I like, oh, I better not be driving, because I don't know. So I pull off and I'm praying for her. And like 2 minutes, find the spirit of confusion right now. She's under attack. I get home and she tells me the story and how it went. Over and over and over. Why in the world would God have us pray, "Lord, keep me from evil. Deliver me from evil. Lead me not into temptation." Why? If it was God doing it. One last thing. James says, let no one say they're what? Tempted of the Lord. Let no one say. That is the most violated scripture, as far as I can tell, over the last 35 years. I cut it off at 35. I've never been around longer than 35. And also, I'm still 49. So, call what isn't as though it were. So, that is the most violated verse, especially from the pulpit. Let no one say they're tempted of the Lord, that they're tested by the Lord. Let no one say. Now, will the word of God test us? Yeah, all you got to do is hear it. Test is on, baby. Lord says, I want you to go do this. No, Lord, I want to go do that. Where's the test? In us. If I'm, Lord, I will to do your will. I'm yours to command. Whatever you tell me, whatever you say, I will do it. A lot of tests go away. Fast.
They go away?
Sure. Because the test is in our own will. It's in our own choice. It's what we don't want versus what he wants. That was the test that Jesus went through in the garden. And he said, your will. I'm convinced that if the disciples had done what Jesus said, pray with me for 1 hour, they'd all been there by the cross. Not just John. Prayer. 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 Lead me not into temptation, Lord. Show me where that is. Show me where the enemy is. Deliver me from the evil, Lord. We stand up and tell people the opposite. You hear it all. I hear it all the time. Good church in Orlando. Respect the pastor. I respect what they've done. God's done a good work in a church that we go to from time to time when we're there. Friends there for years. Associate pastor stood up, said, I want to give the Lord a praise. So-and-so couple back there. We want to praise God that God decided to heal them. Now, let me give you a little wisdom here. Wisdom from God says that I can hear something like that, and I have the wisdom from God to understand what all these people over here might get from that. What do you think they would get from that praise report?
God decided not to heal
them. Right. So what do I have to do to make God decide to heal me? And it goes into their praying. Revival has come. We don't have to convince him to send it. God Almighty, Lord Jesus. It came on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came, all the angels with them, and they stayed. They're here. Ain't gone anywhere. Trying to convince God in prayer to do something that he has already done. What could be worse? George, I did that for you already. I did that for you already. I did that for already. George is going, would you do this for me? Would you do that? Bam! That would be me. I say, hey, what's the matter with you? Amen. We're going to pray now. Okay? We want action. What do we want? We want paga between Ailey and Jesus. Amen? We got that done tonight? That'd be a good night. But we can go more. Every one of you have somebody, one or more, on your heart that needs a meeting with Jesus. Amen? And there's a whole bunch of people out there, okay, that belong in this church. And the enemy's got them captive. Who's responsible for getting them free? Raise your hands. We're going to do that tonight. Amen? Praise the Lord. Prayer. I'm just amazed. I say, Lord, thank you. We've been here since April 17th. That's April, May, June, July, August. Okay? We've got the TV program going. We've got we're ready to go on that satellite TV thing August 16th. And I might, like I said, say let's start on Monday. That goes to 80 nations. Get to go out there and minister live on the satellite. She does the 2 o'clock. I do the 7 o'clock once a month. And get the word out. Get the gospel out for the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. I've got this Sunday, I'll be in Wildwood, New Jersey at the prophetic conference. Sunday morning, Sunday evening. And then there's like 7 more in the next month that I've been invited to. Minister and Priscilla has been invited to. We've had a couple of inquiries by the Aglow. Priscilla does the Aglow circuit. She did it in Florida. And she certainly can do it here. But God's doing that. He's opening up. He's opening those up. I'm amazed we got the TV program going, aren't we all? Amen? This is God and prayer. God and prayer. God and prayer. We had the meeting at the Borough Hall with the Scott. Prayer. Amen? Believing prayer. I just believe that it's an affront to the Lord. I mean, please. You know, if I told you I did it for you and you keep asking me to do it, trying to change my mind from whatever my mind already is. See, that's why the scripture says it's not possible to please God without faith. It's just simply, we believe you. When your children said, I believe you, you were pleased. If they said, I don't believe a word you said, you're not pleased. It's that simple. God is a person. Amen.